Good morning. Sorry I'm late. I'm still having so much fun with people here. It's a good thing the usher went up and rang the bell. I'd still be back there talking. God's blessings as you and I gather once again to worship our Lord and our God, continuing to rejoice in that holy ministry that allows us to hear the amazing message of forgiveness in our Lord and in our Savior. As you and I worship our Lord today, you and I rejoice that we get to build our faith on that rock-solid foundation that comes from God and from His holy Word. We'll be using the service of Word and Sacrament, slightly modified, to guide us through our worship this morning. You'll find it on the screen. It is also printed in the worship folder if you have one of those. Again, as we've been doing, if you grabbed a worship folder, please hold on to it. Please do not return it. You may take that home with you. Offerings will be collected in the back again, still avoiding passing things around as much as we are able. Once again, we also do have the Lord's Supper. We'll follow the same pattern as we did last week. We'll have the pre-prepared elements set out there before you. Since attendance at the Lord's table is also a confession of our unity in faith, we do ask that if you are not a member of our congregation or another Wells congregation, that you please not come forward until you've had a chance to study what we teach and are comfortable making that confession along with us. Thank you for your understanding. Thank you for your respect for God and for His Word. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, Maker and Preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. We pray. Lord God, you rule over all things in wisdom and kindness. Take away everything that may be harmful, and give us whatever is good. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. We turn our attention to the Word of our God for this second Sunday after Pentecost, which also serves as our Confirmation Sunday this year. How fitting that the theme for the second Sunday in Pentecost fits very well with the idea of what took place, however long ago it was, when you confessed your faith and confessed your desire to remain faithful to your Lord and to your God. We are built on that rock-solid foundation that comes from God's Word. All of the lessons remind us to stay focused on that Word and standing on that Word. Our first lesson then comes from verses in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Put these words of mine in your hearts and in your soul, and tie them on your wrists as signs and as symbols on your forehead. Teach them to your children by talking about them when you sit in your house and when you travel on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many on the land that the Lord promises to your fathers with an oath, as many as the days that the heavens remain over the earth. You see, I am placing before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, or the curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, and you turn away from the path that I am commanding you today by walking after other gods whom you did not know. This is the word of our Lord. Our second lesson comes from Romans chapter 3. But now, completely apart from the law, a righteousness from God has been made known. The law and the prophets testify to it. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all and over all who believe. In fact, there is no difference, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God publicly displayed as the atonement seat through faith in His blood. What happens to boasting then? It has been eliminated. By what principle? By the principle of works? No, but by the principle of faith. For we conclude that a person is justified by faith without the works of the law. This is the word of our Lord. We speak responsibly the verse of the day as you see it printed. Alleluia, your words are a lamp for my feet. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for our Confirmation Sunday and the second Sunday after Pentecost, recorded in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. You do not gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles, do you? So then every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and drive out demons in your name, and perform many miracles in your name?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.' Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on bedrock. The rain came down, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not fall, because it was founded on bedrock. Everyone who hears these words of mine but does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. It was completely destroyed." When Jesus finished speaking these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, and not like their experts in the law. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. My dear fellow redeemed, as you have already heard by now, today is Confirmation Sunday. And even though the five young people who are about to be confessing their faith and promising their faithfulness to our Lord and to our God are not currently present in this particular service, you and I still understand probably a little bit of what they're going through, because many of you remember your own confirmation. You know what it's all about. You remember going back in time, maybe not all that long ago, maybe it was quite a while ago by now. But you remember the nerves, you remember sitting there in that chair, and you remember wondering how many people are coming to the examination. I sure hope it's not very many who come. Having mom and dad and grandma and grandpa are enough, all those people staring at me. What if I forget the answer? What if the pastor asks me a question and I just draw blank because I'm so nervous? Am I going to fail? Am I getting kicked out of the church? You remember all those feelings, and as many times as you've been told, no, by the time you get to this point, you would have already known if something is going on, if there's some reason why we can't do confirmation, and yet you're still all nerved up. And then you remember confirmation day itself, you remember the pictures, you remember the congregation there behind you, wishing you well and offering you their prayers, as you've promised to remain faithful to your Lord and to your God. And as you think about what confirmation is all about, you also then think about some of these other questions that sometimes come into our minds. Is this a rite of passage? Is confirmation some process that you and I go through? Is it something that we need to work our way through, and then when you get to a certain age, you get to go through this thing, and now you're done? You've accomplished the task, you've met the requirements, you've fulfilled what is expected of you, and now you've completed the task. I'm assuming you've already got an answer to those questions. But let's just set them aside for the moment and focus our attention this morning on part of the gospel lesson from today. As you and I focus in on this illustration of these two builders, our Lord and our Savior reminds us and fills us with this amazing joy. No matter how long ago your confirmation was, maybe it's still coming, we've heard Jesus. Now what? We hear again these words, verses 24 through 27. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on bedrock. The rain came down, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not fall because it was founded on bedrock. Everyone who hears these words of mine but does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. It was completely destroyed. We're joining Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. This very familiar parable of these two builders is the closing illustration for Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Ever since chapter 5, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 have allowed us to sit on that mountainside along with the disciples and the rest of the people who had come to hear what Jesus had to say. We've listened as Jesus began that sermon with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the earth, and so forth. We've allowed Jesus to share with us a commentary on the Ten Commandments, many of them beginning with something along the lines of, well, you have heard it said in the past, but I tell you, and then he explains what the commandment is all about. He has taught us the Lord's Prayer. He has taught us bold and persistent prayer. He has taught us the blessing of being able to trust in our Lord and in our God. And now he wraps the entire sermon up with this illustration. Everyone who was there had heard Jesus. The disciples, the crowd, all of those who were sitting on that mountainside had heard Jesus. We've heard Jesus. Everyone who hears, Jesus says. Everyone. Everyone who hears these words of mine. You know that there are all kinds of voices out there. There are all kinds of things you can be listening to. You can be listening to your satellite radio, whatever the podcasts are, whatever is streaming through your television, whatever happens to show up on the TV or the radio, friends. There are all kinds of voices that you get to listen to. Jesus wants to make sure that you hear His. Everyone who hears these words of mine. We've heard Jesus. On a Confirmation Sunday, on this Sunday, as you and I build our faith on this rock-solid foundation of His Word, you and I rejoice in the fact that we've heard Jesus. Obviously, right now, you're here. You've heard Him. But this isn't the first time you've heard Jesus. You've been blessed with all kinds of opportunities to hear Jesus. Perhaps you heard Him yesterday. Perhaps you heard Him as those daily devotions got delivered to your email box, or you opened up the meditations booklet, or read a psalm. You heard Him last Sunday as you gathered here, or as you sat in your living rooms and listened. You heard about our triune God and rejoiced in everything that He has done for you. You heard about Him last Easter. You heard about how Jesus is the one who rose in triumph and defeated sin and death and Satan and guarantees to you and to me that His life was perfect and acceptable to the Heavenly Father. His death was perfect and paid for every single sin. It too is acceptable to His Heavenly Father. And now He rises and He lives and triumphs to guarantee that you are perfect in life and your sin has been paid for through His death and you too are acceptable to your Father in heaven. We've heard Jesus. We've heard Him at Christmas time as we marvel at the fact that the Creator of all things was willingly and was able to become part of His creation, born of the Virgin Mary. We've heard Jesus. We've heard Him down the hall at CSJ. Perhaps we've heard Him at Luther. We've heard Him from our parents. We've heard Him in confirmation class. Don't ever take for granted this amazing gift that we've heard Jesus. And not just during the big times, not just Christmas, Easter, maybe a confirmation, but day in and day out, we've heard Jesus, we've heard that we're forgiven. We've heard what His life means. We've heard what His death did. We've heard that we are His. We've heard Jesus. Now what? I mean, hearing is one thing, right? As Jesus began this parable, both times He said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine, doing..." You know, that's another thing. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. That's the one, of course, that we want to be following today as you and I build our faith on this rock-solid foundation of God's Word. We want to be like the wise man. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like the wise man who built his house on rock. He wanted a firm foundation. He wanted something that would support the structure and hold it up. And as soon as he got the house built, it gets put to the test. Not just one of those nice, gentle, soaking spring rains. We're talking about a storm. The rains came down, the rivers rose, they beat up against that house, the winds came, and it stood. Stood firm because that house was built on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine but does not do them, well, that's like the foolish man who also wanted to build a house, except he wanted to build his house on sand. You probably have enough experience with sand to understand the picture. Remember on vacation right after you got the sandcastle all built, the gentle waves coming in and out, nothing too dangerous, and yet slowly eroded the sandcastle away and it fell. Perhaps you've seen sections of your sidewalk or underneath that cement pad where the sand got washed out from under it. Maybe it was cheaper. Maybe you had a great view, but the same storm came. And this time you had completely different results. It fell. Completely destroyed. In fact, Jesus says its fall was very great. So where are you building? As you and I gather this morning, as we think about what it means to have our faith built on this rock-solid foundation of God's Word, we want to be like the wise man. Confirmation Sunday, as you remember your own vows, reminds you of the fact that confirmation is the opportunity for you to stand up and say, I want to be the wise man. I've heard Jesus. Now what? Well, now I want to do. Now I want to confess. Now I want to live. Now I want to cling to what He has to say. And so we confess that we've heard Jesus as we confess that faith. And we promise that we want to keep on hearing Jesus as we now live for Him and praise Him and thank Him and everything. And yet you are also very much aware that there are those out there who would rather have you be like the foolish man, and what they want is complete destruction. And perhaps the farther away you get from your own confirmation, you become more and more aware of Satan, the sinful world, and your own sinful nature. The further away you get from your own confirmation, you see how those three enemies are constantly fighting against Jesus, and how those three enemies are constantly trying to wash the foundation away from underneath you. You're very much aware that life just happens. I mean, things get busy. Things start to happen. More and more responsibilities come along. There's work that needs to be done. And things just kind of start to happen. And those three enemies would love nothing more than have life just take over, to get you so focused in on what you're hearing all around you and what you're busy doing for here and now that you forget what's going to last forever. And they want to distract you. Distract you with the bills, and distract you with the sports, and distract you with the job, and distract you with the recreation, and sometimes you're just plain tired and just don't have the energy. You're also very much aware that there are those who are going to actively be yanking on you, actively pulling on you, actively trying to get you to ignore God, forget Jesus, renounce your confession. Who will actively try to get you to think that Jesus, heaven, all that, none of that makes any difference. You just do what makes you feel good. You just do what is there before you now. And you remember what the goal is. They may come off as a friend. Some of those things might even come from people that you love and trust. But the goal is always complete and total destruction if you're not built on Jesus. Doing is another thing. So we're here. We're here to hear Jesus again. We're here so that we can hear once again what you heard at the beginning of the service. You are forgiven. All the distractions of the past week, the stumbling of the past week, the attacks that you faced, the attacks that you fought off successfully, and the attacks that you didn't fight off successfully. All of them have been washed away in the blood of Christ, that perfect atonement seat, where God found His perfection and found His payment. You understand your need for forgiveness, and you've heard of that forgiveness again. And so now you and I come back and we hear what Jesus has to say, and we understand that if there's going to be doing, if we're going to build on this rock-solid foundation of His Word, then we need to hear, because He's the one who will help us do. We've heard Jesus. Now what? I suppose both confirmation student and parent could easily see confirmation as something to get through. It would be easy for all of us to see confirmation as the end. We've now completed the course of study, and this seems to be more like a diploma and graduation, and we forget that really what's happening is we're building the foundation. You've got the rock there. Now it's time to build the house. Hearing is one thing. Doing is another. And as you and I grow in God's amazing grace, we do know what comes next. When somebody says, now what? You know what to say. Well, now what happens is we keep hearing. We've heard Jesus. And we get to hear Jesus again and again and again. And in Him, now we do. Now we do what gives Him the praise and the honor and the glory as we keep on listening and we keep on building and we keep doing the things that give Him the praise and the thanks and the honor and the glory, because everything that we do is all in thanks and praise for everything that He's done. Amen. Please stand. And now that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Having heard the words of our Lord and our God, we now join to confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We pray. Gracious God and Father, we praise You for the countless blessings which we receive from Your hand, the beauties of creation and the bounties of the earth, the joy of life and the pleasure of friendship, the good of work and the gift of rest, the privilege to share happiness and sorrow with one another. Above all, we praise and thank You for Your saving word and for Your Son's body and blood, which You give us to eat and to drink in the sacrament. Through these means of grace, You send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and unite us to Jesus and to the whole Christian church on earth. Great God and Lord, without Your continuing help, we easily waver in our faith, lose courage, and go careless in our watchfulness. The times and days are perilous. Give us strength to face the evils of each day with fresh confidence. Open our lips to speak of Your grace and move us to use the gifts that You give us to share Your word of salvation with all people. Protect and prosper the family, the school, the government, and all good institutions that You have established for the benefit of society. Remember in mercy those who are sick and suffering, and bring Your healing to troubled homes and lives. Almighty God, in baptism You made Clara Bodick, Haley Gerke, Avery Jordan, Delaney Josted, and McKenna LaFleur, members of your body, members of the body of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. You washed them by His blood, buried them with Him in His death, and gave them a new life in His resurrection. As they make their promises now today, renew them by the Holy Spirit, which You have poured out on them generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Let them live out their lives as heirs of eternal life. Lead them to serve Your church in holiness and righteousness all their days. Keep them in fellowship with all who wait for the return of our Savior Jesus Christ. Hear us, Lord, as we now bring You our private petitions. Now, eternal God and Father, keep us in the saving faith, and so enable us to overcome all things through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He sends the Holy Spirit to testify that we are His children and to strengthen us when we are weak. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is My body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, He took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of Me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please stand. Hear the prayer of Your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised You here may glorify You in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of Your Son may long for His coming again, and that all who have received in His true body and blood the pledge of Your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with His favor and give you His peace. Welcome to all of you. Thank you for being with us this day as you and I stand on that rock-solid foundation of God, His Word, His promises, and His grace. Continue to keep those 5 young people in your prayers. You see that insert in your bulletin that allows you to see who is about to be confirmed here in our next service. Pray for God's blessings upon them that they may remain faithful to God in His will. Just a few things to highlight from the update. Just a reminder, this coming Wednesday evening, our school board is planning a work day for around the school. If you are able to come and want to lend a hand, the times are there on the calendar. We'd love to have a little bit of help as we clean up around and as we take care of some of the maintenance items that we had before us. The other thing is a little bit more on a personal thing. You'll notice that it was in your last newsletter and also in the update, an invitation to my daughter Rachel's wedding. Apparently, now that we have gotten the word out to everybody that things are opening up and we're actually going to get to have a wedding, the RSVPs are rolling in and we're up to about 180 people in the worship service. I'm not retracting your invitation. I'm just letting you know that, just in case, because that means that we're going to be kind of pushing space in here and the guidelines that we've been trying to follow, but we're not planning to turn anybody away, and we'll do the best that we can. I just want you guys to know that, that you're still invited, but there will be a number of folks coming from South Dakota and Michigan and all over the places. Family and friends are beginning to plan to come and take a trip. They must want to get out of the house, and so now they're making their way. So again, just to keep that in mind, that means that this next week I'm basically gone. I'm helping my daughter move from Houston, Texas, up to Michigan, and then we're coming back. So starting on Tuesday, I'm going to check out all the road system across the entire United States. If you need anything, call Pastor Freelitz. He's here. I will be in Kansas and Texas and Tennessee and who knows where. So just so you are aware of that, if you leave a message for me, it may be a while before I get back to you. Everything else is in your update. God's blessings to you as you worship your Lord and your Savior this day.